This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
8:15, we've already spoken to Sean O'Neill at the National Weather Service earlier, and he tells us weather should be pretty nice all the way through Lundegraw. And then the timing of a front coming through, not all-day rain like Sunday or anything like that passed, like Sunday passed, but maybe a squall line of showers or something like that. But it could happen, hopefully, like Camelot, where it happens overnight and doesn't affect anything, maybe even clean the streets up a little bit. So we'll have to see. But between now and Lundegraw, get out and enjoy it, man. It's going to be nice. Alex Hammerstone joins us now, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec in Cleveland today, Alex, or not?
I am in Cleveland, although I'm jet-lagged. I was in Japan last week. So.
What are we looking at in Cleveland today, weather-wise?
It is high of 48. We got a significant snow last week, which is quickly melting, which is just makes a wet mess. So
yeah, we found that out last month, believe me, my friend. It gets dirty and ugly real quick. So a couple of texts come in as we talk about romance scams. A better question would be, do you know anyone who has not been scammed in the name of romance? Touché. Somebody else says, I'm a nail tech in New Orleans. One of my clients got scammed and catfished by a guy that said he was a dermatologist doctor, etc. So I used to wait for the news to come on, and I'd see Dr. Phil, not a fan, but I would be forced to watch it, and I'd see these stories of these old women, that not older women, I shouldn't say that, and men too. It's not just sex, man or woman, but that man, and he'd present them with unequivocal proof that they were being catfished, that this was a scam. Actually bring the person out whose picture had been taken from the internet and used, and introduce them, and they still refuse to believe it. What goes on when it comes to these romance scams, Alex? And I'm not trying to get you too far into their heads, but how can people become victimized so easily when it comes to their money?
Well, that's what's interesting is with these scams. So a lot of the scams we talk about, you know, where someone has money stolen or some investment opportunity, when you present them with the evidence, they tend to realize they were scammed and want to get their money back. But with these romance scams, you know, I've worked with a number of kind of local media outlets, you know, where they presented somebody with all the evidence that they were being scammed. And even if they kind of admit it, that they know they were being scammed, a few months later, they'll be right back with the supposed person.
I mean, they
get so deep into it.
I guess people are lonely, looking for connection. I don't know. I don't know about you, Alex, but when it comes to relationships and money, if I know you and you know, it's hard to get money out of me. Let's just put it that way. I'll leave it at that, let alone online. Tell me some of the scams that are going around.
So one thing that's interesting is that, so the FBI came out, it was just before Valentine's Day, in a tweet saying, you know, this is now a $4 billion a year problem. So it's huge. And, you know, I go to a lot of conferences where the FBI and other law enforcement presents, and they'll talk a lot about how these romance scams are growing extremely quickly. And in short, it's just somebody purporting to be a love interest or a potential love interest and kind of hooking you in and just manipulating you to think that you're having a relationship. And the ultimate goal is to get you to send them money. And there's some consistent things, right? So oftentimes you'll meet them on a dating site or social media, and they'll very quickly want to get you off that dating site, right? They won't want you using their communication methods because the dating sites have ways to kind of detect scams and unusual activity. And then they'll work to kind of love bomb you. And these things can take weeks or months or sometimes even years where they'll build up your confidence. And, they'll send you pictures, claim to be in love with you. And then they'll start asking for money for various things. Commonly they'll ask for plane tickets to come see them or finally meet. And then, of course, something happens where they can't make it, or they'll say their kids have problems. They always have these sob stories. But these are, I said, they're unbelievable because every other kind of scam, when people are kind of, it's pointed out to them, they tend to back off. But these people are really into it.
What are some, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I would think people have been scammed that have said this could never happen to me, and it happened to them because of misdirection, et cetera. We'll talk of some of the things to look out for and also some of the warning signs if your parents or maybe parent who is either a widow, divorced, or whatever, tells you about somebody they met online and this and that and the other thing, and before you know it, they're out a whole bunch of money. Total, how much does the nation, do you have a total? Well, how many, dollars are lost on scams?
The FBI, as I said, they came out and said it was around $4 billion, which, that's just a huge number.
And I know crypto plays a part in this as well. We'll talk about that when we return, talking to Alex Hammerstone, our friend, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trust.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Busted Sec about romance scams. People aren't just stealing your heart, stealing your money. 820 traffic now on WWL. Hi, Tommy Tucker, WWL 825, talking to this nail technician, not nail tech, she might own a place. I don't know, Maya is her name, but about her client that got scammed. For people that have clients like that, that tell them stories, for people that have family members, what are some of the warning signs where people might drop little hints? I met somebody online or this or that or the other thing. How do you go about uncovering that, Alex?
So it's tough, right? Because, look, I've got friends who are in their 60s who have, accomplished, beautiful, 30-year-old spouses, right? So telling people that, if it's somebody that seems too good to be true, it's not real. But certainly take it slow. And I think the most important piece of advice is never, ever send money to somebody that you've never met in person, right? So just if it's someone you meet online and they ask you for money and you've never met them, don't send them money. Now, that's not to say people don't scam in person as well, but that would solve a lot of the issues. And then it's tough, too, just because, again, people have all kinds of relationships. But, if you've spent your whole life kind of dating one type of person and suddenly, some supermodel is interested in you, it may throw up a red flag, right? So really trust your gut on these things. But it's just, again, when it comes to these romance scams, it's the one time when it's almost impossible to talk sense into people. Usually people will listen to reason, they'll look at evidence, but once their hearts are kind of involved, all bets are off and off.
So tell me about cryptocurrency, about what is it, pig butchering, some things that people can look out for when they're being lured in?
So cryptocurrency oftentimes kind of makes an appearance in a lot of different scams, right? And the reason is if I make a transfer to you using a legit, a legitimate banking app or send you a credit card payment or something like that, that's all traceable, right? Crypto oftentimes allows for an untraceable way to send money. And so that's why scammers will oftentimes use it, and how crypto kind of gets tied up into the into kind of the dating and romance scam realm. Now, there are oftentimes people that will be, however, looking to, outside of just romance scams, steal your crypto. again, because it's less traceable and in many cases untraceable. And these scams can be unbelievable. So you'll actually have certain people that will set up fake websites that will kind of show your investment. They'll ask you to invest some money. They'll have this fake website show that your investment is increasing, you know, 10% a week or something. And then they'll ask you for more money based on that. And, of course, you believe that your investment's doing well, so you send them more money, and then they disappear. So really, it's just there's just so many different scams out there right now, and people fall for them all the time.
Somebody texted in, this is not about romance, I guess, unless they love bourbon. They say they got scammed online, $800 trying to buy bourbon from a website. Is that something you've heard of, or is that just part and parcel of the whole package?
Absolutely. So there are, you know, it's one of the things I think you and I have talked about a number of times, right? One of the ways that people will scam you is to have a hard-to-get product, and they'll offer it on a very realistic-looking website. And then, you know, the product doesn't exist. Of course, that's different than just kind of basic consumer issues with bad customer service or, you know, certain companies just aren't good at fulfilling things and are dishonest. So a lot of these things kind of overlap. But certainly when there's something hard to find, I know there are a lot of these bourbon releases that, you know, people get really excited for. Mm-hmm. And scammers will take advantage of that excitement as well.
More like Pepe Van Scam.
Yeah, that's all right.
Alex, so thank you. I appreciate it. So bottom line, if it's too good to be true, it is. There's no free lunch. If you're swinging way above your weight, chances are it's not real. And don't ever, ever send anybody money when it comes to, well, we're going to talk to a clinical neuropsychologist in the next hour. I'll ask her about the, you know, when it comes to dating people and money, when that comes up, I'd be, again, suspicious of doing it in person, let alone online. So let that always be a warning to you. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll go to Rome, rather, and get an update on Pope Francis's condition from the Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:47, 13 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Christopher White, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. Good morning, Christopher. How are you?
I'm well, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
You are in Rome, I believe, right?
I am, yes, at the Vatican.
I was fortunate enough to go, and I think everybody that prizes art, prizes religion, prizes history should go to Rome and the Vatican at least once. Tell me about Pope Francis. What do we know?
Well, Pope Francis has been in hospital for 12 days. He's 88 years old and battling double pneumonia. The Vatican is describing his condition as critical, but they said yesterday that he's had a slight improvement, but at the same time, it's too soon to predict a prognosis. We know that some of his blood results have shown some signs of improvement as well. But again, they've been giving this Pope a lot of drugs to try to treat the double pneumonia, and it seems to be taking a toll on his other organs. So very much a delicate situation.
And how old is he, Christopher?
He's 88 years old, and even before going into hospital, he has a number of underlying health issues. He's had limited mobility in recent years, which has led to quite a bit of weight gain, and he has chronic bronchitis. So these make treating the double pneumonia even more complicated.
But put this in context for me, because I think sometimes we take a papacy for granted, but sometimes lose context on it because we tend to think that the man that wears the white robes is always the same, when in fact, obviously, it's different people. Take me back to when Francis became Pope.
Well, Francis was elected in 2013, and it was a bit of a different time because he became Pope after a papal resignation. That hasn't happened in over 600 years. Typically and historically, popes have ruled for life. And so when he was elected in 2013, he came in on a reform mandate and really focused his papacy on sort of bringing the church into dialogue with the modern world. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, he's been in office for 12 years. And he's had a longer papacy than he himself anticipated. Early on, he said, I think I'll have a short papacy, 4 or 5 years, and then I'm going to God. Well, we've gone now double that. And even so, at 88 and in hospital battling all of these health crises, he seems to have some fight left in him. This is a pope who likes to surprise people. And so, you know, I would say, you know, you have to take the doctor's words very seriously. This is a grave health crisis, and the Pope is not out of danger. That being said, he's determined.
And you say he's a fighter, and he is, and he's fighting infections right now. But when it comes to his papacy, what have been some of the fights that he's taken on, and with whom?
Well, for starters, I'd say he's made the Catholic Church, you know, refocus its priorities. We've seen migration and climate change sort of top his list of concerns, whereas in the past two papacies, issues such as family and gender and sexuality were issues that sort of bubbled up to the top. And for Pope Francis, it's not as if he's overhauled church doctrine or changed teaching on any of those things. He's just shifted the focus. And that, of course, has rankled some of his conservative critics who see him as perhaps undoing longstanding church tradition, or perhaps, shifting the balance away from what they would prefer. And that has, of course, garnered him some enemies, but it's also, I think it's fair to say, garnered him favor as well.
I think it's interesting because while the Pope does talk of inclusivity, nothing really changed, right?
Well, Pope Francis has not overhauled any doctrine. I think it's just fair to say his pastoral priorities as Pope has changed. And I think for some people that has been a shock to the system, because both the papacies of John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, which really ran, you know, almost half a century if you combine the two, people had gotten accustomed to a certain way of doing things. Francis was the first pope from the global south. He was a Jesuit. That was a historic first. And he is a bit of a maverick. He has done things his own way. And for an institution that is very reticent and reluctant to change, Francis has been unafraid to sort of rattle the branches and do things differently.
He will not be pope forever, naturally. We all are mortal people. But when it comes to the next pope, is the church likely to take, or are those inside saying it's likely to take a more conservative turn, or not necessarily? Thoughts on that?
Well, Pope Francis has named two-thirds of the men who will one day elect his successor. These are the church's cardinals who, when a pope dies or resigns, it falls to them to elect among themselves the successor as the next pope. And by naming two-thirds of the men, he's left a strong imprint on the College of Cardinals, but that doesn't guarantee that the next pope who emerges will be identical to Francis and share his same opinions and preferences and priorities. But it does mean that there's a greater likelihood that someone will emerge that this pope has put into a position of power because the pope sees something in them that he respects.
Do we know, Christopher, or does anybody know, once they go behind those sealed doors, how political the process is, what kind of buttonholing there is, if there's any trading of votes or anything like that with a conclave whenever one happens?
Well, of course, conclave is in the news right now because of the Hollywood film that's getting a lot of buzz. I like the film quite a bit, but I have to say it's entirely unrealistic. That being said, of course, the Vatican is a political institution, not just a spiritual one. And there are backroom conversations, and, you know, they will, when they go behind closed doors, be sizing each other's up. That being said, I mean, it's all sort of framed by the spiritual context in which this takes place, in an atmosphere of prayer and discernment. But that doesn't mean there isn't lobbying that's done, that there aren't conversations and blocks that emerge.
Campaigning?
Pardon?
Campaigning?
Well, campaigning is expressly forbidden, but we certainly, you know, you certainly do have rival camps. And I think it's fair to say the next conclave, whenever that is, whether it's next week, next year, or in 10 years from now, it will be a referendum on the Francis papacy. And those who want to see a candidate emerge that is in continuity with Francis, or someone that charts a different course.
Thank you, Christopher. I appreciate your time. I really do. Real quick, the feeling you get there in Vatican City, I guess you've been to St. Peter's Square, is what?
At the moment, I'd say there's a lot of, it's a tense atmosphere. a lot of uncertainty. We see a number of pilgrims that are here, just like yourself, some time back, that wanted to be here and pray, because this is a holy year. And right now, I would say most of their prayers are going toward the health of Pope Francis and his recovery. So it's buzzing with energy, but that energy certainly comes with a lot of anxiety at the moment.
Thank you, Christopher. I appreciate your time. I really do, and your insight. Christopher White, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter. Conclave is a movie. It's also the process by which they elect a new pope. And if you've seen the movie, and I haven't, I think it's a great film, I would also suggest maybe The Shoes of the Fisherman, which is a much older movie with Anthony Quinn, that also addresses the election and nomination of a new pope, a different take on it. But I would say if you look at the two of them, maybe you'll get a balance somewhere. 855, 5 till 9, traffic now, WWL.